From Kedushat Levi Yitzchak, the book written by Levi Yitzchak from Bardichov, we're in Parashat Emor, and the parasha starts Emor el Kohanim, Bnei Aaron, say to the Kohanim, Hashem is talking to Moshe, say to the Kohanim and to the sons of Aharon. Ha'inyan ki yesh arba olamot. We know that there are four spiritual worlds. The world of Atzilut, the world of Bria, the world of Yetzirah, and the world of Asiya. Lechol echad yesh bechinot chayim v'chas v'shalom lehefech. Each and every one of them has a concept of life, and chas v'shalom, also the opposite. All these worlds have the opposite of life. You can call it death. Ki ba'olam asiya noraim sheyesh chayim v'chas v'shalom lehefech. In the world of asiya, it's very simple. You see either life or you see the opposite of life. You don't have to be a genius here. V'kmo chen ba'olam ha'yitzira. Same thing in olam ha'yitzira, by the way. There's also the concept of death in the olam ha'yitzira. Shehu dibur. We just now, in the previous class, learned about the three garments that the soul interacts in the world. So thought, speech, and action. So this world is called Olam Asiya. This is the world of action. By the way, this is off the subject, but there is the Olam Asiya, the physical Olam Asiya, what we are in, and there's the spiritual Olam Asiya. So we're referring here right now to the spiritual Olam Asiya. But nevertheless, the world of Asiya is exactly how it sounds, the world of action. But comes now a world above, it's called the world of Yetzirah. And this corresponds to the garment that is called Dibur, speech. Ken ba'olam ha'yetzirah, shua Dibur, in the world of Yetzirah there's speech. Yesh bevchina kshadam medaber davar hevel, ze nikra hefech. The way the worlds are created, there's always two sides to it. There's the concept of life. Life means something positive, energy, Chayut, and so forth. And then there's the other way around. In the world of Asiya, then you see it physically. A person is alive, the next moment he's dead. How is that corresponding in the world of Yetzirah when you have speech? When a person speaks bad things, and this is called the opposite. כשיש בחינה, כשאדם מדבר דבר הבל, זה נקרא הפך. When a person speaks something negative, something bad, something that is empty and worthless, it's called הבל, that is considered the opposite of something good. כשאדם מדבר דיבורים טובים בתורה ומצוות, what happens when a person speaks positive things? He speaks words of Torah, he says blessing, talks about mitzvot, there's many ways when a person can speak something good. ובעבודת הבורא, ברוך הוא, זה הבחינה נקרא חיים. This concept is called חיים. This is life, that you produce something positive. וזהו מרומז בפסוק החיים. This is hinted in the verse that it says החיים, the life. וזהו עיקר בעבודת השם. This is the main part of my עבודת השם. שישמור האדם בדיבורו. That you have to be very careful with what you say. וכמו כן בעולם הבריאה. Now we go one world above. The world of בריאה, that corresponds to thought. So we went from עולם העשייה, it's action, עולם היצירה, speech, עולם הבריאה, the world of בריאה is thought. כן בעולם הבריאה, שהוא מחשבה. יש בבחינות חיים. There is the concept of life in the world of בריאה. כשאדם מחשב תמיד בעבודת השם. When a person constantly is thinking about Hashem, I know it sounds maybe a fanatic or maybe OCD, but we are obligated to constantly think of Hashem. Because if you're not thinking of Hashem, what are you thinking of? You're thinking again, the lady that you saw in the morning in the red dress. So there's no two options here. Either you're thinking of Hashem or you're not. But nevertheless, when Hashem is constantly thinking of Hashem, הבחינה הזאת נקרא חיים. This is called life. The world of Bria is alive. Your neshama is alive. וחס ושלום להפך. And חס ושלום, you think of something else, and it's the opposite of life. Now there's a world above that. ויש עולם למעלה מהם, שהוא עולם היראה. Then the world above that is called the world of fear. שהוא בטל במציאות. And this is annulled in the existence. שם, in that world, יש גם כן בבחינות חיים וחס ושלום להיפוך. In that world, there's also the concept of life and חס ושלום, the complete opposite. ועיקר הוא הדיבור שישמור אדם עצמו מדיבורו. But the main part, what one needs to focus on, is to concentrate on his speech. כי הכל תלויים בדיבורים של האדם, everything is dependent on the speech of the person. וזהו הרמז אמור אל הכהנים. This is the hint when it says אמור אל הכהנים. It says אמור, it's a kind of a different way of expressing. Usually, the Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, דבר, speak. But אמור is a very different way of expressing the idea of speaking. אמור is also comes from the word in Hebrew, אמרה, להגיד, it's a saying. When he's saying, אמור אל הכהנים, say to the כהנים, is a hint, ואמרת עליהם לנפש לא יתאמה. Tell them, don't make your soul impure, כי הכל תלוי בדיבור. The reason why he says אמור and not דבר, דבר is tell them. When he says אמור אל הכהנים, hint to them that how does the verse say? Open the parasha and it says אמור לכהנים בני אהרון ולנפש לא יתאמה. Don't make your soul impure. How do you make your soul impure? With your speech. If חס ושלום your speech is impure, then you make your soul impure. Very simple. הכל תלוי בדיבור. Everything is depending on the speech. Now, with that said, then I have to guard my mouth all the time. That's why we see so many times that our sages say, keep quiet. Be quiet. Don't talk too much. Because if you know, that's like a grandmother saying. My grandmother used to say it. If you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything. So what do you say, anything or nothing?
Anything.
So my grandmother always used to tell me, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything. Be quiet. And this is coming from my grandmother. So much more so when the sages say, you know, one of the sages, Rabbi Elazar, says, I have grown from around all the sages. And I only found one thing that is good for my body. Silence. Don't talk. Nevertheless, here the Kadosh Baruch Hu comes and says to Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the Kohanim, but he comes with a hint that says, Emor el Kohanim, and gouge your mouth. Now we can explain the verse a little bit more. ביות כאשר ציווה השם למשה לאמור לכהנים שיקדשו עצמם. When the Kadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe to tell the Kohanim to sanctify themselves, to make themselves holy, אך פן ירום לבב הכהנים ויתגאה לבבם. It's also saying in other words, don't make sure that the Kohanim should for one second not get a little bit of pride. Ooh, I'm a Kohen. I'm above the nation. Chas v'shalom, that their heart should not get a little bit an ego and they will have pride. לאמור מי כמוהם אשר בהם בחר השם. A Kohen can come and say, oh, Hashem chose me. I'm so great because Hashem has chosen me. מכל ישראל, from all the rest of the nation. And for what? להקדישם, to give them קדושה. בקדושה. And not only that, Hashem gives me the power, not me, I'm not a Kohen, but Hashem, a Kohen can come and say, oh, I'm so great. Hashem is giving me power to bless everybody else. And not only that, ואכילם קודשי שמיים. And I'm allowed to eat קודשי שמיים from the food, from the sacrifices that is holy. I'm not allowed to eat it. We're not allowed to eat קודשים. This is Isur Karet. I'm not allowed to walk into Bet HaMikdash, me as an Israelite. Even a Levi, I'm not allowed to go into the Bet HaMikdash and eat from the Kodashim, from the food that is Kodesh Kodashim. This is Isur Karet, Chas V'Shalom, Lo Aleinu. A Kohen can come and say, you are a nothing. I am a high society. בוודאי הם חשובים לפני המקום. No question here that the Kohanim are very important and special in the eyes of Hashem. וחיבתו להם יותר מכל ישראל, and he likes them a lot. וירום לבבם עליכם לישראל, but חס ושלום, they can't have one second, a little bit of an ego, oh, I'm better than you, I'm a Kohen, and you're not. Chas v'shalom. I'm not a kohen, by the way. But nevertheless, I'm just saying it. A kohen should not have this this arrogance for one second. Lachen lo'tzi ze milvavam. That's why Hashem wanted to make sure the kohenim don't get this bad character trait. Tziva kadosh b'chu sheyakdim lahem hakdama achat shelo yorum levavam. The kadosh b'chu gave an order, a commandment, that this should come before their heart will chas v'shalom get a little bit of ego. V'achar kach yagid lahem et asher tziva Hashem. That's why the Kadosh Baruch Hu first gave them an order that hakdama achat. I'll give you one preparation that you will make your heart a little bit lower, and after that he will tell them what he commanded them. Vehu, what is this is that he commanded? The bemet lo shayach sheitnaseh adam. The commandment is that should not have any feeling that the person should have any ego, or that yitnaseh, that he will feel that he's superior to somebody else. Ela bedavar shu amal v'torech v'yagia atzmo bo. The only reason, the only time when you can feel that you are a little bit maybe above somebody else is when you really worked hard for that and you really toiled. Then you can get for one second the feeling, not in a arrogant or negative way, but feel that, yeah, I worked hard. If somebody gave it to you for free, you were born a Kohen. So what? You got it. You didn't do anything here. You have no permission for one second to feel that you're better than somebody else. But when you worked really hard, and you worked on yourself, and you toiled, and you really put a lot of effort, and you got to a higher place, that's when you can say, you know, kol hakavod, I did it. I worked very hard. Why? Because I put a lot of effort in it. Ma she'en ken davar shelo amal bo. But nevertheless, you can't have that when you didn't do anything. If you're just born to become a kohen, you can't get any pride in that. Kagon yichus avotenu. This is something that I totally despise in our nation. It's called yichus. In Hebrew, yichs is something that is disgusting, and yichus is your lineage. And many people come and they, my great great grandfather is so and so. So what? And the fact you, so what? That your grandfather is so and so, but you behave like an animal. So what does it? What does it make? So what if your grandfather is so and so? And unfortunately, some places you will go, they will match you somebody because of your yichus, but you behave like a complete savage. So what if your great-grandfather was somebody? My great-grandfather was also somebody. So, this is called yichus. And unfortunately, when I came into the observant world, I didn't like that. Oh, you're not from that family. Oh. So what if it's that family? So you get respect for your actions, not for something that somebody did 500 years ago. I also have yichus. I'm the great-great-great-grandson of Avraham Avinu. That's a pretty good yichus, I would say. And I can guarantee to you that each and every one of us, if you go back in your family tree, you'll find somebody that is very, very respectful and a very big yichus. Nevertheless, here is what he says here. If you put a lot of toil and you worked hard and you really, really climbed somewhere, yeah, you deserve to be respected and get some kavod and honor. And you can feel, you know, I did it myself. But when you were born into something, you can't take any credit for that. So he says, not a kohen that was born into a family of kohen, and not for somebody that was born into a great family. I know great families that their kids are Hashem Erachem where they are. We just spoke about it yesterday. We had a guest here from Yerushalayim. And we were talking how, unfortunately, in our generation, many of great families, their kids are chas v'shalom. They're falling into drugs and to very bad places, going completely off the path of the Torah. And just yesterday, that's what we were talking about. Without mentioning any names, there's a huge, huge, huge rabbi, leader of a very big group, and both of his two grandkids, not from the same family, two grandkids are completely in the dumps with the drugs. And somebody from a different group was actually able to kind of save them. And you know, usually how it is here in Judaism, the groups don't like each other. You're from this group, and my group is better than your group, and your group is... and two groups that are not so friendly with each other. Dafka, somebody from group A helped the grandsons of the Rebbe of the other group to get out of their problem with drugs. So now there's a little bit of but this is how pathetic sometimes the situation is. And this is a yichus. So what if your grandfather is a big Rebbe of some big chassidut? It doesn't stop the needle from going into the hand. Excuse my language. But nevertheless, so he says here, no, a person cannot suddenly feel, oh, I was born into a family of Kohanim. So what? Behave like a mensch. Then we'll give you some respect. And then he says, kagon yichus, yichus avotav. A person cannot say, oh, you know who's my grandfather? I don't care who your grandfather is. I care who you are. So what if your grandfather died on Kiddush Hashem? Not too long ago, I was in a shul. I wanted to throw up there because I was praying there for Shabbat and it was a pretty big congregation. Probably at least 100 men were there. Came the person after the service to give a drasha. I was expecting to hear some words of encouragement, words of inspiration, some deep explanation of the parasha. All he talked about is the yichus. And I was like, I'm waiting for maybe he's going to change the what he's talking about. And all that he's talked about, my family is this and my family is that, my family is here, my grandfather and my grandmother and my grandfather and my neighbor. I was like, what are you talking about? What are you coming to tell me how great you are? Come and tell me the Torah. I came here to hear words of Torah. And he kept saying, my grandfather did this and my grandmother did that. And I was like, I'm very happy that your grandfather, you know, my grandfather also did some pretty amazing things. What do you want to make? We used to have this fight in kindergarten. My father is stronger than your father. This is good for four-year-olds. I got very, very disappointed that that's what was talked in the shul. My grandfather. When chas v'shalom, not taking any of the respect or the honor of the efforts of the grandfather. I'm sure the grandfather was amazing. But why are you taking any respect for something that three generations ago did? So my grandfather also fought here in Israel, the British army, and blew up bridges here and did heroic things. So what? Well, I'm going around and telling my grandfather did this and that. My father was a general in the army in the Six-Day War and the Yom Kippur War with heroic stories. I go and say, oh, my father. No, you be a mensch. Then take a big pride in somebody else. But nevertheless, he says, if you didn't toil, if you didn't put any effort, what are you taking pride in? Somebody did because a forefather. This is kegon yichus avotav. Lo shayach bezeh itnasut. There's no place even here to feel that I'm so great. Hitnasut is to exalt yourself, to pump yourself up. Ki bemenech shavu. What are you considered? Because somebody in your lineage did something amazing and you're taking credit for that? Who says you are going to do that? Who says you are that? That's why he says, "Vezeu emor el kohanim bnei Aaron." That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to tell the kohanim, "Emor el kohanim kloma." What does that mean? Shemikodem takdim lehem. Before they even get a little bit of an ego, tell them, "Oh, relax." So what if you're the sons of Aaron? So what? And later on, you're going to be grandsons of Aaron and great great grandsons of Aaron. Keep your pants on. You know that's how you say, and in English they say that. Don't get so excited before you. So what if your grandfather is somebody great? Takdim lehem. Tell them right away. Shema shechafetz Hashem itbarach behem hu lo mitzad atzmam. The Kadosh Baruch Hu, what he likes and chose them as the Kohanim is not because their selves are so great. Rak mitzad hiyotam bnei Aaron. They are considered Kohanim because they are the sons of Aaron. Aaron gets the credit, not you. Sha'aron haya kadosh. Aaron was holy. Not you. Maybe yes, chas v'shalom. I'm just saying, just don't take credit for that. Aaron HaKohen haya kadosh, kol kach ad shebekdushato echnis bevanav kedusha. Aaron HaKohen was so holy that his kedusha, his holiness, was penetrating into his kids. Ve'lo hem atzmam palu kol zot. And they didn't do anything. They were just born into the family. Ve'lachen en lehem b'ma litpayev. Therefore, they should not take any credit. They were just born into a great father. They shouldn't take any credit. You be great now, we'll give you credit too. V'achar kach. And after that, az ve'amarta lehem lenefesh lo itama ba'amav. After that it says that you should not get your soul impure. Hakdusha, she'ani mekadesh otam. Don't make your soul impure because I'm making the soul pure. I'm the one who's Hashem is saying that, not me. Then I'm making you pure. מה שאין כן כשתאמר להם מקודם, you should tell them before that, ירום לבבם עליכם בני ישראל. Say that before that, that they're not going to feel that they're better than the rest of the nation, their brothers of the nation of Israel. וציווה השם מדברך להכניסם במידת הענבה, הקדוש ברוך הוא ordered them, right away, apply the מידה of הענבה, of humbleness, לבלתי ירום לבבם, that their heart should not grow and feel that they're better than anybody else. Now, what do we learn from that? I don't think that neither one of us here in this room is a Kohen, last that I checked. But nevertheless, it says in the Torah, "Va'amech kulam tzadikim," right? We all can be in the level of a tzadik. But also it says in the Torah, "V'itiyu li atem mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh." We are also, we're all considered a kingdom, a nation of Kohanim. If you want to look in the hierarchy in our nation, we have Kohanim, Levim, and Israel. But in the hierarchy of the world, we are the Kohanim of the entire world. The Kohen in the Beit HaMikdash has to serve the nation. He's totally annulled. He doesn't have a job. He doesn't have anything of himself. He has to serve the nation in Beit HaMikdash. That's why we bring them Masrot. We bring them food and money and donations because they serve. They work for us. You know what a hard job it is? I wouldn't run to be a Kohen. It's being a shochet. You in Beit HaMikdash, it's boiling hot there, you know, the Mizbeach is boiling fire there. You're slaughtering animals all day long, skinning them, and you know, all day long, washing blood on the floor, taking the ashes. And if you read exactly what they do, it's not such an easy job. I'm sure it's a very hard job. And you work in shifts, three shifts a day. It's not an easy job. But nevertheless, we are the Kohanim of the world. We are the priests of the world. That's what it says in the Torah. It's not that I'm inventing anything. It says, "V'tiyu li atem mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh." You should be a nation of priests. What are the priests? It means that they bless the world. They serve the entire world. This is something that we don't understand in our nation, that we're supposed to be the priests of the world. So first and most important, what we need to understand from that it's referring also to us. Don't ever think that you are better than somebody else because your father is great and your grandfather is great and your great-grandfather is great. This is one of the worst character traits to say, "Oh, you know who I am. I'm from this and this family. And my grandfather did this and my father did that and my aunt Shoshi did this." So, well, I don't care what your aunt did. You have to be, you want respect or to be recognized, it's for your own actions. And nevertheless, the Shem tells Moshe, tell Aaron before they even start, before they even put the clothes of Kohanim, relax, you're not that great. You're great because your father was great. And Hashem is giving you this ability because your father was holy. You're not getting any credit here. You want to get credit? You have to do an effort. We have to understand that. You know how many times people I see it? It can be between a Jew and a Jew. Sometimes I see observant Jews that they're looking at a Jew that is not observant and they're looking at him like as if it's like the waste of the universe. Oh, I'm so holy, I did a mitzvah today and you are a nothing. This is disgusting when you see it in our nation. When a lot of observant people, they feel they did 2.5 mitzvot and they look at somebody who's not observant and they brush it off like as if he's a piece of dirt. More than that, then you see it again between a Jew and a non-Jew. How many times you see Jews that they're looking at the non-Jew from above like as if he's God's gift to the world? And I lived in many communities, especially in America, you see a lot of the times the Jews, the observant Jews, behaving to the non-Jews disgusting. It's disgusting. It's a disgrace. It's mamash chilul Hashem, how they behave. So there comes this parasha and teach you, don't let the kedusha of your father, where you come from, or your lineage, or your family, it doesn't mean you're that great. It doesn't mean that you have to feel that you are so greater than everybody else because where you come from. Prove yourself. Then you can feel that you're a little bit better. Besides the fact, what is the Kadosh Baruch telling Moshe to tell the Kohanim? Have anava. And even if you are great, so what? You have to now go and show it off to the whole world because you're so great? Have a little bit of anava. Be humble. So what if you're great? You know when you're great? When you don't show to somebody else that you're greater than him. When you're really humble. When you're really you're down to earth. So we have to take that as a learning, to my own existence. I should never develop any ego because of my background, because I come from somewhere. And you know, each and every one of us, I guarantee to you, you can trace in your lineage a tzaddik. I can guarantee to you, there's no such a thing. You know, sometimes it's in a very obvious way. I know people that are a direct descendant of the Maharal, of the Baal HaTanya, of the Baal Shem Tov. You know, we have here two young men that come here a lot to the classes. There are descendants of Arava Bulafia. So there are people that you can point and say, "Ooh, you know, this is a great-great-grandson of so-and-so." So, but that's it, so what? I guarantee to you that each and every one of you, go back 10, 15, 20 generations, you'll find somebody that is not going to put anybody to shame. And if you can't find 20 generations, then go 30 generations. At some point you are attached to Avraham Avinu. So this is good enough for me. But nevertheless, one should never have, I don't know the word, perfect, the right word in English. In Hebrew it's called litnasot. I think that I'm much better than you. Nevertheless, now, to us as observant individuals, one should never give to a person who's less observant or not observant at all the feeling that, oh, I'm much better than you. This is unfortunately, when I grew up, and I grew up not observant, I hated religious people. Because the feeling, the attitude I got from them, that they think that they're better than me. And I was like, well, who says that you're better than me? You don't even know me. Why do you think you're better than me? Because you put tefillin on in the morning and I didn't. So, and you see it sometimes, this place attracts very colorful people. Talking here, right here. And sometimes I see the attitude of some people. Oh, look at this guy, how he's dressed, how he talks, how he behaves. Don't have this feeling. You don't know who anybody else. If you would see me 17 years ago, you would probably brush me off to the gutter. If you would see me 17 years ago. So we can be quick to judge. And we, chas v'shalom, cannot feel for any given moment that I'm better than somebody. You know why? The first second that you start climbing up and you feel that you're better than somebody, Kadosh Baruch Hu smashes you like a cockroach, makes you this big. So you have to be very careful with how you're letting your spirits take you high. Hashem says, oh, you think you're that great? You think you're greater than him? I'll show you how great you're not. And in one second, Hashem makes you this big. So we got to be very, very humble. A kohen is a very holy individual. He's allowed to eat from the Kodashim. He blesses the nation. He's in the Beit HaMikdash. We just spoke a second ago. You told me Kodesh HaKodashim. A kohen gadol goes into Kodesh HaKodashim. You know how many few of the individuals in the can go into Kodesh HaKodashim? Whatever it means to be in Kodesh HaKodashim, I can't even imagine what's going on in there. So needless to say, this is a special individual. But at the same way, look at Aaron HaKohen, humble. So that's what we need to take from that. Especially that now when we're so close to the redemption and the entire world is looking at us. The world is disappointed at us. That's why there's so much anti-Semitism. The world is disappointed. They're saying, you're supposed to be our example. And you're behaving like a bunch of animals and we have to look up at you. So we have to show to the world, to give an example to the world. It says a clear commandment in the Torah that we should be a light to the nations. So we can't for once say, I know so many people that they're, oh, you know, the goy. What kind of attitude is that? The goy. This is disgusting. I will never forget, I lived once somewhere in Brooklyn, doesn't matter where, and there was a store owner that was mopping water out of the store. And he went like that, and it went all over a person. The person was like, excuse me, what are you doing? And he brushed him off like in a hand, something with his hand. And I told him, why are you behaving like that? You're making me look bad. The goy. Told me the goy. Goy is a Gentile. It's not, by the way, it's not a derogatory word. We are also called a goy, by the way. It's called a goy kadosh, a different type of goy. Goy in Hebrew is a body, by the way. A lot of people think it's a curse or something. But nevertheless, how he brushed the person, goy. What kind of behavior is that? First of all, the Chilul Hashem that you just did, read Parashat Kedoshim. Yesterday we read it. You're not allowed to do Chilul Hashem. This is a prohibition from the Torah. Lo lechalel et shmi. We just read it yesterday. It should be very fresh in our mind. Chilul Hashem. We're not allowed to do Chilul Hashem. You just did Chilul Hashem. You know, there's no tshuva for Chilul Hashem in this world. You can't do tshuva for Chilul Hashem. A person has to die to atone for Chilul Hashem. Now look how you're behaving. Now forget about Chilul Hashem for one second. You're making all of us look disgusting. Now that Gentile is going to go say, oh, all these Jews are disgusting. They're treating me like as if I'm a piece of dirt. Besides the fact that, how do you know he's a Jew? Well, you have X-ray vision. You can see his neshama. How do you know he's a Gentile? How do you know he's not a Jew? Look at him. Look at you. So, wait, hold on. Anyways, the bottom line is, I always get very upset when I see that. I get very, very upset when I see Jews behaving disgusting to other people. It makes us look very, very bad. It makes Hashem look bad. It makes the Torah look bad. We're not doing what we're supposed to do. And it's bad. It's just very, very bad. So we got to be very, very careful. We are a Mamlechet Kohanim. I can't take any credit. I can't say, oh, I'm so great because my father... You know, when I joined the army, my father's a general in the army, in the IDF. He fought in all the wars. He's a hero. When I came into the army, I thought, oh, my father's going to set me up. My commander looked at me, he's like, I don't care who your father is. He kicked me in my tuchus. Get out of here. I told him, but you know who my father is? I don't care who your father is. You're standing from the bottom. Drop and give me 20. So it doesn't work like that. I don't care who your father is. And you know, I got sometimes in trouble in the army. I called my father. He's like, I'm not helping you. What do you think here? I'm going to make phone calls now to people to help you? You know, take care of your own business. So, but that's how it works. But nevertheless, we can't take credit for something I didn't do. You did something, take credit. And do it in a very humble way. To take credit to something you didn't do, that's already borderline of chutzpah. But nevertheless, we have to hold ourselves in a very special way. The world is looking at us. Somebody asked me yesterday, what do we need to do to bring the redemption faster? What do we need to do? So I said, we need to increase in good acts of kindness. We need to learn more Torah. We need to do more mitzvah. He's like, all this I know. Give me something I don't know. So I told him, what we're missing here is the good opinion of the nations. We need the nations on board. The nations need to get excited that Mashiach is coming. The nations need to leave all their false beliefs. The nations need to learn the Torah, their part in the Torah, the mitzvot that they need to do. They need to get excited to the redemption. He was like, how do we do that? I said, well, you have about 7 billion of them. You don't have to work so hard. Any direction, you're going to throw something, you're going to hit. So nevertheless, we have to lead by an example, and we have to be a light to the nations. And that we can only blame ourselves for anti-Semitism because we behave that, we do that. You step on somebody's toe, he's going to punch you in your face. That's how it is. So we have to get our act together. We can't feel so, I'm so great because my great, 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 great grandfather 5,000 years ago is a great man. So you be a great man, then you deserve the respect. And needless to say that everything has to be done b'midat ha'anava, being humble. And when you are humble and great at the same time, that's when you will get this recognition and respect that you deserve because you did it and not somebody else did it for you.